All right, good morning. November 10th, Wednesday, 11:15. And we're gonna do one more spectroscopy session here. And, or one more NMR session, I think. And then Monday we'll start with mass spec and bringing mass spec into the picture and starting to look at mass spec problems and things. So I've been sitting here for the last little bit and I should have made some notes. I'll grab a piece of paper. I know that I had some problems that I wanted to look at here. 22, 23, 24, these are quick. And then I'll look at 26. Maybe 21, maybe 16. So I'm going to show you a bunch of aromatic ring things, 18. We'll do those first. And then the longer problem that I want to do after checking those was, eventually intermediate problem number 10. So 10 is sort of a longer problem. And I think I might want to do intermediate problem number 9. Maybe number 9 will be faster. Or could be number 5. Number 5 would be better. All right, I got it. One of the problems I had some advanced problems that I was playing with that I wanted to do. And as I played with the advanced problem, I really sorted out why it was advanced. And I was like, this really isn't that bad. This is a great problem to do. As I started playing with it, I realized, no, this is really not a good problem to do. Leads to too many questions, too much craziness. Okay, let's start a screen share. Let's jump into these. And like I said, the first thing that I want to do is I want to, where is it going? There it is. I want to go to the beginning problems. And I want to look at the substitution patterns in 22, 23, and 24. 22 is an aromatic problem. And in looking at this aromatic problem, I just want to look at the proton NMR spectrum. And I want to zoom in on the aromatics. Oh, and that is just the worst. Ah, that is the absolute worst. I may take it back. That may not be enough resolution to actually look at it. I should have looked at the spectrum. I looked at the answers and knew where I wanted to go. Let me see what 23 looks like and if 23 is bad. 23 is even worse. So not doing it for me. So let me go to 26. Those are horrible. And see what the aromatics on 26 look like. That looks a lot better. Okay, let me zoom in to 6.5 to 8. So this is an aromatic with two substituents. And those right-hand ones are a little hard to read, but what I'm asking is, I want you to decide this. So we're doing a new chem lecture here. This is sort of our aromatic roundup. For disubstituting.
And we can have with dye substituted. This is something that is just a skill set that you need to be able to do fairly easily in distinguishing between these. We're going to do a tri-substituted one in a little bit.
When you say distinguish, it's like these are 2, 3, 4 groups, or are 2 and 3 and 3 groups, or like the spikes directly, like the pattern you showed before.
Right. So there's going to be a series of peaks, and they may overlap, and they may not be in this order, but it's going to be a doublet, a triplet, and a doublet. Here, the key thing is the singlet. Doublet, triplet, doublet. So we get a singlet in some place, a doublet, a triplet, and a doublet. And then here we get the A prime, A prime, B, B prime pattern that is very symmetrical. And so your keys are really trying to pick out that singlet, or picking out the A, A prime, B, B prime system. And so, and then this one usually drops out by elimination. If you can't find the singlet and it's not symmetrical, then we go by this by default, whether or not the signals are bouncing on top of each other or not. We sort of just go there by default if we can't find the singlet and we can't find the A prime, B, B prime. That's the way that I do that. So I don't all the time try to make this work. I just know it's either not that and it's not that. And so by elimination, I get down to what it is. So the number that I was looking at was number, what was it? 20. Number 26. And number 26 is C7H7OBR. So I think this is, and I need to look at the solution. I didn't look really carefully. I think it is a bromide with an OCH3 tagged onto it. So it's dye substituted, and we need to figure out what pattern it is. And so I just want to look at the aromatics and decide what pattern those aromatics are showing, whether it's ortho, meta, or para. That's what I'm asking you guys to do right now. So first off, is it the A prime, B, B prime system? No. No. So it's not the para. Is there a singlet in this spectrum someplace?
Not really.
Not really, because the singlet, given all of the things that are going on here, if there was a singlet, it would have to be twice the height of a doublet in order to have the intensity of one. So you're looking for a peak that's going to stand above the field. So there's no singlet in this.
So you don't look at the integration value necessarily. You can kind of guesstimate it like that.
That's what I would do. Enough.
Okay.
That's what I would do. So what I'm seeing in this is I'm seeing a doublet, a triplet, a doublet, and another triplet. I mean, I can bring it in and I'll show you how I see it. So these are just the aromatics on that molecule. And the idea here was that this exercise would be a bit faster. So here's what we've got. I'll increase the size a little bit. And I'm seeing that this, I'm gonna decrease I'm seeing that this is a doublet. I'm seeing a triplet. And then over here, I see a doublet that's sitting in there, and then another triplet that's right next to it. Maybe I need fuchsia. And so there's the triplet that's sitting next to it. And so the A prime, B, B prime is out. The singlet is out. And that means that this is the ortho and that the right answer for this molecule, would have to be bromide OCH3. By looking at what that spectrum is. Let's go grab 21 and let's do the same thing with 21. 21 is another aromatic. I'm just picking out a bunch of aromatics to go through and do. Back to the problem, view solution. Nice. Okay, hide solution, back to the problems. I said 21 was the next one I wanted to do. Let's zoom in to 7.5. This may not have super resolution. It does not. That is just as ugly as it gets. Why are these so ugly instead of being nice and pretty?
They're not alcohols.
No, this is just aromatic.
Right. Well, there's nothing, there's no oxygen either. So that's, and they're too high a number, I guess.
I think that what's going on is that the resolution just isn't good enough on the spectrum, that this is just a crappy spectrum and it's not showing what I want. And I'm trying to see if I could even direct you how to pick that out. 26 isn't doing it. So let's try 16. Let's try 16. Is good. 6.8 to 7.5. Missed it. 6 to 7.5. So clunky, 6.6, 7.5. Okay, that's actually a decent spectrum to be able to read for what we're trying to do. This is, number 16, C7H7OBR. So it's very similar to the last one we did, but different substitution pattern. Number 16, C7H7OBR. Again, same sort of molecule, bromine, OCH3, and we need to tell what pattern it is. So our three options are para with the A prime, B prime, meta with the singlet, or ortho with the doublet, triplet, triplet, doublet. Want to go back and see those patterns? Come back to what it is.
So it's not an AABB pattern because it has like four bits.
Well,
or it is, because it's actually only two.
That's right. It's not the singlet, and it's not the doublet, triplet, doublet, triplet. This is what an AA prime, this is one way that an AA prime BB prime system looks. It's the symmetry and the fact that there are only two peaks that look like they're two doublets, but the symmetry of these peaks here, this is the AA prime BB prime. This one is the para. And is that molecule. So that's what that looks like. So kind of get that imprinted in your brain. And integration-wise, it's integrating for two and two, whereas these guys up here were integrating for one, one, and this guy was integrated together. But we know that when peaks fall really close to each other like that, they do integrate them together. Okay, let me try 18. Let's see what we get. Back to problem, view the structure. There it is. 18. C6H5NO3. So 7.0. to 7.8. That did not do what I wanted it to do. There we go. This is number 18, C6H5. I just reversed it, didn't I? C6H5. All right. And our spectrum, these are the aromatics. And we're trying to figure out, is this AA prime, BB prime? That would be para, ortho. We're looking for the singlet. Meta. We're looking for the doublet, triplet, triplet, doublet.
Do the, for the meta, Does it have to be in that order?
No. Can be in any order.
It could be any order of two doublets and two triplets.
That's right. And I believe this molecule, I'm not sure what this molecule is. Let's see. I know how I can do this a little bit better. You guys work on that for a second. I'll catch up. Chem ed 20B. Sources, web spectra, number 18. Yes, OH and NO2. So we're trying to figure out what pattern it sits in. So we're only seeing the aromatics. We're not seeing anything else. We're just looking at the aromatics, trying to figure out the aromatics.
Looks like meta.
Oh, really? Why'd you say that?
There's two triplets if you look at it, right? The one at like 7.55 and the one at like 7.32 or whatever.
Travis, you said meta. Was that, wait, you said meta? Is that what I heard? Okay. So, tell me more about the two triplets. Compare the triplets.
The triplets have vastly different J values.
Okay.
But it was more of just looking at the patterns. I don't see AABB. I don't see what looks like a singlet.
Okay.
So just so deduced.
Yeah. I would argue that the 7.55 is a singlet with like some neighbors, like some secondary neighbors, whatever.
With a long range.
Yeah, right.
Yes. This one is actually a singlet when considered on the J, the standard J3. It does look like a triplet, and there's enough resolution there to show it as a triplet, but this is that pattern that I said you got to watch where it's triplet on long range, but not in its immediate J3 range.
So then it's ortho.
So this one is the singlet and this one is the ortho. That's why I wanted to hear more about that choice that.
So the two triplets should have the same J value, is that it?
They're going to have very similar J values if they're two triplets.
So like within 20% of each other or something like that?
I would say within 10% of each other, if not even closer.
Okay, so they should look kind of the same if you don't
look too closely. They should look identical, very similar. Yeah, they should not be vastly different. That's one of the things that we've got to watch. So it's not only the pattern, but also the intensity of the pattern. Zoom out, back to problem, view solution. Let me see if I can find another one. Let me look real quick. Intermediate problem 3. No, that's going to have competing aromatics. Intermediate problem 12 should not have competing aromatics. Intermediate 2, 12. That's hard. It doesn't have competing aromatics, but it doesn't have the resolution of the other peaks that we've seen. I don't like that one. Let me see if I can, I got another idea. I want to show you more of these, but I want to show you with some better spectrum. Give me 1 second to find it. Got it. Okay. All right, so where I'm going to go is to the other website that has the higher quality spectrum. And I'm going to pick some problems here. Number 15. Proton. Aromatics. Did I choose poorly? Oh, because it has two aromatic rings in it. I didn't see the second aromatic ring. It's 16 that I need, I think. 16 should be a green. It's not. I don't know. That pattern is a little easier to read, although it may not look like it.
Go out on a limb and I say it's an AABB pattern.
Let me see if I can deconvolute it for you. Okay, so I think it's because of the color in this one that I find it a little hard to read. This peak here is attached to this one here, and they come all the way up. Those two peaks. And then, oh, that was not supposed to do an arrow. Now I'm in drawing. Come on. You can do better than that, Jason. I think it's because the line widths are just so... tight there. Okay, so there's one. A color that stands out away from that.
There's no way to show these on a non-linear scale except with a breakout box. It's like usually nothing happens for a long time and then there's all this activity and then it's kind of gone. You could kind of like, you know, stretch out the things that are interesting. And
yeah, know. It's really hard. This one is here and there all the way up and stops there. So there's its base. And then there's that pattern. I mean, really what we're trying to do here is pattern recognition. Can you see it once it's colored in like that? Does that help to make it more visible? Or does that just obscure it even more?
I mean, it's a bit of a stretch, but yeah. So then they're next to each other, right?
There are a doublet, a triplet, a triplet, and a doublet, and they're right next to each other. And they're kind of shown on top of each other. But at least the line heights are such that they're not buried in the baseline on these. So this pattern is the X and Y. This is the ortho pattern.
It just seems like in this kind of case, it's like, well, I mean, you could color these in any which way you like.
Well, it may feel that way, but you've got to try to look at and use the idea of the roofing, that you can see where these guys are roofing and where their line heights are. And that together with the relative heights of the peaks and the peak widths that help you to sort out what's going on here.
And they all have the same J value, and because they're in the 7 range, they must be ring things.
They're all in about the same J value range. Yeah, because they're all in the same ring.
So actually in the aromatic roundup, I don't think, but the J values for all those things should, what, there is a J value match thing between those, right? The triplets should always be similar to the triplets, and the doublets should always be similar to the doublets. Is that right?
Well, the triplets and the doublets are splitting each other. And so the triplets are coming about from the so they all have very similar J value because they're all splitting each other.
Right. So with the ortho configuration, the triplets and the doublets should be the same. And then the triplets and the triplets are kind of similar because they also split each other.
That's right.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay, let me grab 31. Let's see what 31 looks like. Problems. 31. NMR. Aromatics. As much as I want it to be easy to read, is hard to read. It's not doing exactly what I want it to do. Let me try 32. That one's super pretty. Ortho, meta, or para? This is kind of how you would like them all to look. You would like them all to be like this pretty and be able to tell exactly what the patterns are. And they're just not all that pretty, but this exemplifies what we're looking for. So ortho, meta, or para?
Ortho.
This one is the ortho with the singlet. Yes, because it's got that singlet in there at 6.9. This is definitely the ortho. All right, let me see if I can find one more. Let me try 30. Not nearly as pretty. What would you guess? It's not giving me exactly what I want to see. I'm wondering if there's not a better one that I could grab. Try the other set, 33 through 64. Maybe there's a better one than 33 through 64. Oh, 33 might do it. That's a little better. That's a little more what I expect. This is the same pattern as the last one, just a little easier to read. Ortho, meta, or para?
Para?
Para, this is the A prime, B, B prime system. This is the symmetrical one. This is where they're looking very symmetrical. Two groupings, sort of that inverted quartet. There's some other things going on in it, but very symmetrical. That's the para. Okay. So, yes, a lot of the problems have complications that make them harder to read in the aromatic range. But by and large, with good spectra, the patterns are fairly recognizable. And the main thing to be careful of is that triplet, singlet issue, whether it's a true triplet or whether it's a long range triplet, so that you don't make the mistake. And I'll try to stick to problems that give you clear patterns associated with the aromatic range. Okay, so number 10 was a longer one that I wanted to do. And I think it was 10 on Yeah, it's 10 on the intermediate. And I want to see how we do on it. And so it gives us a little better than a half an hour to try to do this problem. This is a slightly bigger problem, but I want to try something a little bit bigger. Where am I? I need to go back to here. I need to go back to chemed.study. That's the easiest way to get there. We're going to go back to the other website, Web Spectra, intermediate problems number one, number 10. All right, so this is C8H8O3. So we're going to start a new problem here. This is intermediate one, problem number 10. And it had a formula of C8H8O3. All right, what's the first thing we want to do?
Saturation.
Units of unsaturation. How many units of unsaturation does this have?
T5?
Yep. Okay. Let's go get the spectrum. And I'm going to zoom in on this. Actually, let's just take the spectrum as is. This is not a bad one to just take as it is. And then I'll get the details for what I need for anything that has splitting patterns in it. And let's take a look at this first one. That first one is a singlet, so we don't need a detail there. The last one is also a singlet, so we don't need a detail there. That has some splitting patterns in it. So I'm gonna grab all of those. So that looks like 6.4. Let's see if this gives us enough detail up to 7.5. And that looks like that's going to give us enough. It's not super detailed, and I wish it was a little bit cleaner. But let's go with it and see what we can do. All right, so how do we want to proceed? What do we want to do first? You guys kind of walk me through what you want to do. I'll give you a little bit of help, and I'll tell you that this one, exchanges. So I said I would always give you that part. What do we want to do from here?
I suppose we count the hydrogens and make sure the scale's right and know how many are in each peak, like add up the integration bits.
So yeah, let's work on the integrations. Let's create a scale. And let's say that this is that exchanging proton. And because we're fairly certain that looks like it's the smallest, except I created that scale over the top of other things. It's gonna be hard to grab it. So I'm gonna create it over here. So I'm going top of the S, bottom of the S. That's going to be my scale. I'll move it over here and copy it and make it at least three or four high, or at least until you get to the tallest peak. So this would be one, two, and three. And then let's apply that and see what we get. So I'll group it. And that is looking a little higher than three. One, one, a little better than two, a little better than one. So if I read these out as I'm thinking that they're falling, it's looking like three to one to one to two to one. And so I will, you know, our formula was H8. That is 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Looks like that's working. So I think that we've got the integration resolved. This guy we have viewed and we know that it is a singlet. This guy we have viewed and we know that it is also a singlet. So anything that is not being shown in the detail is being understood as a singlet.
Okay.
All right, where do I want to go next?
Well, one, two, three, four, five. That matches, right? That's eight of them.
Yep.
And we want eight.
Yep.
Good.
So we're in business. So it seems to me like it's time to break out and make the table for this thing. All right, starting with that nearly 4.0, looks like it's 3.9. Integration, three, multiplicity, singlet, number of neighbors.
No neighbor.
Yeah, no neighbors. Okay, assignment, what shows up all the way down at four? So we could go get that NMR table that we were using this morning. We can put that table in here. What shows up all the way down at 4 down here? What sort of methyl? These are methyls that are next to really strong electron withdrawing groups, right? So all the way down at 4, this is a CH3. And this is a CH3, which is next to a strong electron withdrawing group.
So we can already say that's an end.
And we could say that's terminal, yeah. That's the end of a molecule. That's the ending part there. And usually out here, what I'll say this too, when I see something out close to 4, this is usually connected to an oxygen. It's usually like a methoxy. Now that's not absolute. There are some other things that can show up all the way out there, but a methoxy is a pretty good bet by the time you get all the way out to 4. All right, next up, we've got 6.48 that is a singlet. Integration for 1, singlet exchanges. Now, number of neighbors, we don't know because an exchanging proton can have neighbors and not split. So I wouldn't say 0 neighbors because that could mess you up later. But I'd leave it sort of an open thing. So at 6.8, what comes all the way out here at 6.8? That exchanges. So does this type of proton on a double bond exchange? Protons that are connected to carbons never exchange. The types of protons that exchange are OHs and NHs. So if it's out here at 6.8, all the way out here almost at 7, I wouldn't worry so much about where it's located as much as the fact that it's exchanging. So if it's exchanging and there's no nitrogen in this, what likely is that proton?
Part of an alcohol, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's not in the table there.
It's not. That's true. But the problem is that this bar should probably extend out farther.
Okay.
Into phenols on an aromatic ring, and that it exchanges, and the fact that it exchanges is more important than actually where it's showing up at.
Because all the way up to 7, maybe.
Maybe even farther. Mm, I mean, right. We're at 6.48 there, but depending upon what other electron withdrawing groups are around it, other electron withdrawing groups can drag it down. So these ranges... Something to be aware of is that these ranges aren't perfect either. It's like it never gets bad enough. It's like there's always something worse. There's always something else I need to know.
So for each rule, how many exceptions do you have on average?
I don't know, 20, 30, infinite. They just keep going. All right, 7.02. I don't even know what that is. Let's go back and look at it closer. 7.02. It's integrating for 1. I'm looking at this. I'm going, what is that right there? It integrates for 1 proton. What's its multiplicity?
Which one?
This one.
Oh. It looks like a pair, but it could do 2 individual ones.
Could be, but if it's integrating for a single proton, then they're all part of the same signal. So a pair then would be said to be a doublet.
Duet.
Yeah.
Duet.
a duet, doublet. So this is a doublet. That means that it has one neighbor and an assignment. This is at 7. It's showing up right here at 7. So this is an interesting proton because it's falling sort of in the carbon-carbon double bond range. It's falling in the aromatic range. I don't know that we know what this is. Aromatic, alkene. We don't have a good read on what that proton is. I mean, it could be aromatic. We could just leave it at that. I don't want this all to move together. All right, next up. Next up is the 7.4 range. Now that, I haven't zoomed in far enough, but that doesn't look like a single proton, does it? And it integrates for 3. So we could say, integrates for 2, I'm sorry. Integration 2, multiplicity unknown, number of neighbors unknown, and what type of protons come at 7.4? So now we're sort of out here midway. These would be aromatic protons. So these are aromatic. And it's likely that they're not in the same chemical environment, but that they're aromatic. And then there's one more signal in here that's a singlet, and it's all the way up at 9.8. We've never seen one up that high before. It's a singlet. It's got 0 neighbors, but we've got to go figure out what 9.8 looks like. So what does 9.8 look like out here, right in this range?
Aldehyde.
Aldehyde. So that's looking like an aldehyde proton. Is there something that I could help to maybe confirm that that might be an aldehyde? Someplace else that I could look that might give me information?
The carbon NMR?
Yeah, the carbon NMR. I could go check the carbon NMR. I could see if there's a carbonyl. And so maybe we ought to just do that real quick while we're here. Is there a carbonyl in this one? Looking for that carbon NMR table. Normally, I would say if it's past 200, definitely a carbonyl. But carbonyls can start like around 160, depending on the type of carbonyl.
Yeah, it looks like it's in the aldehyde range.
Yeah, so yeah, it's fitting in the aldehyde range. And so that's looking pretty good. That we've got an aldehyde and that's feeling pretty good. All right, so all said, when I look at this, it seems to show that I don't have all that many aromatic protons. It looks like I've got 3 that are aromatic. So with 3 aromatic protons, the pieces that I'm getting out of this are 3 aromatic protons. And with 3 aromatic protons, that means that it's trisubstituted. A, B, and C. And there may be different ways in which it could be trisubstituted. So I could have A, B, and C. or there may be other options in the way that this thing gets all spread out. And so I've got to figure out how these protons are distributed around this. But more than that, I've also got to figure out what the other groups are. So it looks like I have an aldehyde. It looks like I have an alcohol. And it looks like I have a methoxy. So it looks like my three groups are aldehyde, alcohol, and methoxy.
So is this a good point to kind of check whether you have accounted for all the atoms?
This is an excellent time to check and make sure we've accounted for all the atoms. Okay. So if we're pulling all of those together, that is C6, 7, 8. So that would be C8, H3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, oxygen, 1, 2, and 3. And I think that fit with our 5 units of unsaturation. Seems good. Okay. How are we going to figure out the substitution pattern on this? And what the substitution pattern is? We've got to figure out the substitution pattern on the aromatic ring system. And so that means that we need to start narrowing down some options. And we need to figure out what's connected where.
So all these hydrogens are on the add-on groups are not connected really to anything else. So they're alone.
They're all alone. They're all singlets.
So we have to look at the things on the ring to see how close to the withdrawing groups these are.
That's right. And so what winds up happening here is we can take and we could look at all three groups together. But then having all three groups together, there may be many permutations of this. So we could start off with the aldehyde at the top.
In this case, one of the questions I always have is like, a resonance doesn't matter here, does it?
No.
Why not?
Because resonance doesn't help you to figure out what the substitution pattern is. The only thing that's going to help you to figure out the substitution pattern is the electron withdrawing nature of the substituents themselves.
So resonance is entirely different kind of like concept of electron density for NMR. It doesn't matter.
For NMR, resonance does not help you at all. Zero, zilch, not a bit.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all about induction. With NMR, it's really about induction in these groups. So we could have the aldehyde, or I could say we could have the hydroxyl in the middle. We could have the aldehyde in the middle. We could have the methoxy in the middle. And there's yet even more permutations of those. We're just drawing out a few of them.
There's only three more, right?
There are three more that we could draw. Yes, because we could swap out. Actually, there aren't three more. I think because if I swap these, they're identical if I swap them because of the ability to pancake the molecule. So those are three options there.
Well, you can add a gap.
Yes. Adding a gap means to take and to do something like keeping the aldehyde at the top, but then putting the methoxy group and the hydroxy, and then you can swap them So these would be different if I put the hydroxy group here and the methoxy. So there are two of those. You could then take and put like the methoxy group out here and then the aldehyde and the alcohol. And you could swap that. So you get alcohol and aldehyde. And then there's another pair where I could take and put the methoxy by itself. Aldehyde and methoxy, and then you could swap it. So there's those guys. And then there's one more. So far we have almost all of them. There's one more.
Oh, one where they're equally spaced.
Yes. And this one, orientation doesn't matter. That's correct. Give me one more second. I'm looking for different spectrum. And I'm not seeing it. It's not coming up for me. Come on. I'll have to go find it. I've got it someplace. But it's not here. All right, so is there anything here that we can rule out, or what do we need to look at in order to try to start ruling out some things? What do we need to do?
I suppose we can rule out the bottom one if we don't have any interaction, if we have no interaction, or no, it is the bottom one if we have interaction, if we have no interaction between any of the hydrogens.
Okay, so if we look at the hydrogens here, the idea is that these protons should all be singlets. And they would be three different protons. Let's go look at the proton signal and see what that proton signal actually looks like. And I'm worried that the proton signal isn't super well defined to be able to help us. This is the one that goes 7.0 to the 7.6. And I'm going to get that even a little bit better. So I'm going to go 7.5 to 6.9. That's a little bit better. Now we can see all the, so these are the aromatics. And in looking at these aromatics, this is one, and this is one and one. And it is hard to read.
So I'd say the right one is split.
Therefore, the right one's definitely a doublet.
So it can't be the lost item, so we can cross that off the list.
Yeah, it's not this one, because that would be three different protons that would all be singlets. So we could definitely cross that one off. We got a lot of choices, and we got 10 minutes to figure this out. So when looking at these, we can go through and we can do some predictions here. We could say, right, that this would be a doublet, triplet, doublet, doublet, triplet, doublet, that all of these have that doublet, triplet, doublet pattern in it. We could go and look at these and say, these guys all have a singlet in them. And then they should have doublet, doublet in all of them because of their neighbors and the way that they're set up. So we need to decide, is there a singlet likely in this, or is it doublet, triplet, doublet? And then we can decide between the two groupings. We threw out the one grouping that was all the singlets, but is it doublet, doublet, singlet, or is it doublet, triplet, doublet? So now we've got to look at that pattern and we've got to figure out doublet, doublet, triplet, or doublet, doublet, singlet. So one of the things that you can do is we can take that clear doublet, and that pattern should be sitting over here someplace. And it looks like it might be in there, or at least it's very close.
It's a bit hand wavy, isn't it?
It is a bit hand wavy. I'm seeing that splitting pattern. And if I go that first peak to the second peak, it sits on top of each other. And then there is another, I don't know, it's so close. That's hard to say. I wish I had a little more resolution in that range right there. That range right there is making it difficult. This clear doublet is super nice, but that is kind of yucky in that there's some things going on in there that I don't quite understand. But one of the things that I would say is that there is one peak in here that's fairly tall compared to everything else. And if there were a triplet, triplets usually get shorter than doublets. So if I have one proton, and one proton is a singlet, and then it's at a doublet, and then it's at a triplet, to get the same volume, the peak height usually shrinks because it's about the area that's underneath it and the integration of the area that adds up to give one, one, and one. So triplets usually aren't as tall as a singlet. And if I take this doublet and these heights of these doublets, and there's another doublet that's hiding underneath here, then that thing that's really tall is kind of seeming a little bit more singlet-like than triplet-like. That's a bit of a stretch, but I'm not seeing a clear sort of triplet that's falling out of this, which is why I was looking for another clear spectrum to see if I could find a clearer spectrum of it to show you, to give you a better picture. But
let's one out of six now.
Yeah. So it looks like we can throw these guys out for lack of the triplet. And so we've gotten down to six, and now we've got to figure out how to get it out of these six. So let's see if we can do a little work to get it out of these six. I said it was all about inductive. Can you rank these groups in terms of which is the strongest electron withdrawing group? If I give you an aldehyde versus an alcohol versus a methoxy, can you tell me which one of these is the strongest electron withdrawing group?
I think the aldehyde.
Yeah. It's actually not, surprisingly, because it's what you're directly connected to. So which element is the most electronegative element?
The oxygen.
The oxygen. Okay, and what is the job of a methoxy group inductively? Inductively donating or withdrawing?
I think it's donating.
It is donating. So if this group donates a little bit, like if this is an electron donating group,
then the alcohol is the worst or the strongest.
This would be the strongest. This would be second. This would be last.
So we can rank those, but we don't have the other five spectra, so we can't compare.
We don't. What we need to do now is we need to figure out which proton these are and where they're sitting in these molecules. So this doublet over here, which group is this doublet most likely next to? What's its neighbor? Think about where it is, upfield or downfield of the other two. These two are similar, and this one is different.
We have to think about shielding, right?
Shielding and deshielding. This is a shielding and deshielding thing.
Right. So if it's upfield, it's more shielded?
If it's upfield, it's more shielded. So all of these have electron withdrawing groups on it, but what we would say is that this is a proton which has a weak electron withdrawing group, and that these two are protons that have strong electron withdrawing groups.
So those are neighboring the alcohol.
These are deshielded. And this one is shielded. You're right on the right track. You guys are thinking great. This is excellent. This is what we need to put together.
So the alcohol is the stuff on the left side. So it has two neighbors.
Alcohol is going to be over here. And what's going to be over on the right-hand side?
Is it the methoxy? Or is it, in this case, the methoxy is not as, or that the aldehyde is weaker than the methoxy?
That's right.
The connection.
That's right. The aldehyde is over here. Now, the methoxy, in terms of its electron withdrawing ability, is it more similar to the aldehyde or more similar to the alcohol?
It's more similar to the aldehyde.
If this guy is the strongest, and this is directly connected to oxygen, and this is directly connected to oxygen as well, these two are similar, and this one is connected to a carbon, and this one is different. These two are connected to protons that are similar, and this one, being the weaker electron withdrawing group, is connected to this guy.
Counterintuitive to what we've been told the whole time, though, right? As far as like carbonyls and their strength of electron withdrawing, and then the methoxy and it being more on the electron donating side.
So, Travis, try and do that question one more time. Let me see if I understand the question correctly, because I'm not sure I caught the entire question.
So, like, the classification of the strengths of each of these substituents seems to be a little different, contrary almost to what we've been told that their strengths are in other situations.
Ah, okay. So I think the difference is that in other situations, you have been told that carbonyls are extremely electron deficient, and that this is partial minus and a large partial positive, and that things will attack it because of that huge partial positive that's on it, and that nucleophiles will come in and attack this thing because of its partial positive. And so it's a really strong electron withdrawing group. However, that's about the carbon that is connected to an sp2 oxygen and what's happening to that carbon. When you stretch that out and you say, all right, this is a carbonyl and the carbon is connected to some other group versus a carbon which is directly connected to an oxygen, it is very similar in that this is a small partial positive and a small electron withdrawing group sucking some electron density out of this because it's already connected to the carbon versus what that oxygen does to that carbon, which is that this carbon of the carbonyl actually has the large partial positive and the partial minus. But inductively, that falls off when I look at what it's connected to. The oxygen here, on the other hand, is a beast of an electron withdrawing group. And when it's directly connected to a carbon, it really pulls electron density out of that carbon. Now, the fact that this is sp2 hybridized sucks even more density out of that, but that doesn't make it equal to an oxygen directly connected to a carbon. So those are excellent points, and they seem counter-argumentative, but they're not. They're all saying the same thing. We're just looking at different types of reactivity. And so when you're connected to a carbon, you're not nearly as electron withdrawing as when you're connected to an oxygen directly. And the oxygen is the 800-pound gorilla in the room, sucking electron density out of it. This one has a little tiny proton. And so this guy has a monster partial minus and has sucked all the electron density out of this proton. This proton had nothing to give. This one has a slightly less electronegative because it has sucked electron density out of the methyl, and the methyl had quite a bit to donate, making the oxygen slightly less electron withdrawing. And so in ranking these, I'm ranking these this way. The most electron withdrawing is the OH. Second most electron withdrawing is the OCH3. And then quite a ways away from that is the aldehyde in terms of electron withdrawing group nature. So this is going to be big partial positive, smaller partial positive, less partial positive, or deshielded and shielded relatively to each other. So that means that my aldehyde is next to this group, and my methoxy and hydroxy are next to these two. Now I need to decide where that proton is, what proton that is. That proton is one of these two, because it's one of the doublet protons. And because it's one of the doublet protons, I can start off by saying that one of these doublet protons, that proton next to that proton that is a doublet, that guy has to have the aldehyde next to it.
Okay.
And that because of that, the methoxy and the OH have to be in one of these other two. And I've got it down to two. And now I've got to decide what the difference between these two is. So what I did is I linked these two groups. Actually, I'm going to do it in blue because it's less electron withdrawing. I'm going to reserve red for my more electron withdrawing. So what I did is I locked those guys in. And in locking that in, I locked it next to that guy.
So now do we need to look at the other proton that's between the aldehyde and the other substituent?
We can look at that because that's the singlet. And we can decide whether or not that singlet is downfield of the doublet or upfield of the doublet. Where is that singlet? It's sitting here. Is it upfield or downfield? And this may be hard. This may be a crapshoot.
Is it upfield of the doublet that's right next to it? Is that a doublet to the left of it?
It's the doublet is sitting in here, yeah. So the doublet's sitting in here, and it is upfield of that. So I'm kind of feeling like because of where that doublet is, and that doublet is so far downfield, I'm kind of feeling like I want to put this strongest electron withdrawing group next to that other doublet to pull that down and leave this guy between the two weaker electron withdrawing groups. But it could go either way, and we've got it down to 50-50. And so I'm leaning towards taking this guy, and I could be wrong, but I'm leaning towards taking this guy and pulling that downfield and leaving the weaker one here with this singlet so that I don't put the super strong electron withdrawing group next to the singlet, which would have pulled the singlet all the way down. So that's where I'm sitting.
So degree of certainty, what is it? What would you say?
Well, I don't know. I'm at maybe 70%. Okay. Sometimes ring currents can be a little bit tweaky, but you know what? If you got down to these two, I'd give you full credit for either one of these two. I would be super stoked at either one of these two, of being able to narrow it down and go through the reasoning. And I wanted you to be able to see reasoning that was a little bit stronger reasoning like this, of how we go through. I've got one more of these that I could do that has similar reasoning and is the exact same problem with different functional groups and better spectra. And we could do it. I was hoping the spectra was going to be good enough to do it, but let's go and let's call it based on time. Let's call it and go look and see what it is. And I know that we're between these two. I don't know which one is the right answer, but I'm leaning to the right one. Let's go see what happens. Back to the problem. View the solution.
So you could do the exchanges and then you could see which. No, that doesn't help, does it?
Yeah, it doesn't help. How do we do? We nailed it. So I wanted you to see a slightly more challenging problem like this and how the inductive and the electron withdrawing of these different functional groups plays a role and how you can actually tease out the structure from these. I love the fact too that I did that blind and and got the right structure. It's just practice and knowing what to look for and how to distinguish between the different groups. It's what can you find in the molecule that makes it different? I always liken it back to this. I always liken it back to when I was a kid, they always had on, I think it was the Electric Company or Sesame Street used to do a similar thing. And when you were like 6, 7, 8 years old, 5 years old, on Sesame Street, they would put up one of these things is not like the other. One of these things do not belong, right? And they had like things that were like bicycles, and then they've got the guy walking, right? Or something, something that makes them different. And you find that thing that makes it different. This is just that at rocket scientist level. Find the thing that makes it different. It's the same game. And when you find that thing that makes it different, then you hone in on that and you try to narrow down what is causing that difference. And it really is shielding and deshielding and the strongest electron withdrawing group. And that's how you puzzle it out, is you puzzle it out by finding your strongest electron withdrawing group and the weakest, and then figuring out how they stack in and what they have to be next to in order to cause that. And you puzzle it out, and it can be done. And those other problems, when you start getting to things like this one that we were just doing, it starts making those other problems easier, because all those same skill sets are used in those other problems, just to a lesser degree. They just start to get more challenging as you get further and starting to tease out and puzzle out what those pieces are next to. So we've dealt with the assembling the pieces part. Today we dealt more with diving into and figuring out what those groups are, putting groups together and figuring out what they're next to, using the splitting patterns to figuring out near neighbors and which subgroups so that you connect the subgroups. That was a big component of this morning's that we got out of, right? So that you have less subgroups to assemble. And then really those aromatic substitution patterns, particularly the di substituted, not so much the tri, because I know that the tri was really complicated for this one we just did, but the di substituted, whether it's orthomet or para, those are things that I want you to focus on now. Keep working on those beginning problems and maybe even stretching into the intermediate problems. And the intermediate problems don't get that much more challenging. And then we're going to start putting them all together as we start next week into mass spec. All right, I'm going to put together a quiz for you guys this weekend and give you an NMR quiz for you guys to work on. So I'll work on getting that up today and give you guys tomorrow through the weekend to work on it. All right, so look for that. And keep with it, don't give up. This is one of those things that you just can't give up. You just gotta keep working on it.
Okay.
It's like anything else. It does get easier. All right, take care, you guys.
Thank you.